The word today is shun. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. Christians normally spend their time and energy working to build relationships with others in order to share with them the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. But occasionally, it becomes necessary to draw back from someone. What would cause a Christian, or even a group of Christians, to keep away from another believer? Here to lead us into understanding on this action is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. On The Word Today, shun.
Today we're going to discuss an activity that was conducted by Christians in the New Testament. And at first it's going to sound like it wasn't a very loving activity. But as time goes on, as we continue to discuss this, I think you'll see that this was motivated by a desire that people not drift and fall away from God, that individuals don't get lazy and lose their commitment to the Lord Jesus. We're going to be talking about what is called shunning, to shun a person or to ignore or purposefully avoid that person. Let's take a look at where this is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So that would be Paul the Apostle's second letter that he sent to a church in Thessalonica. And it says, starting at verse 6 of chapter 3, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him, in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother." One of the first things we should point out here is that there is the use of the word idle. That sounds an awful lot like the term idol, I-D-O-L. The word idol, I-D-O-L, means a false god. And many people in the ancient world had little statues representative of these false gods. That's not what is meant here. The word idol here is spelled I-D-L-E. It's like on a machine, when it idles, it means it's running at very slow speed. It's not really getting any work done because it hasn't ramped up and it's not working hard. In the same way, there were some people in the church of Thessalonica who were not working. They were sponging off of everyone else. They weren't earning the food that they were to eating. They weren't pushing themselves to be productive as Christians. And that's why Paul writes about this in this third chapter of Thessalonica's letter. Why? Well, there's probably an overarching reason why some people got complacent or stopped working. The belief was that as Jesus was risen from the dead, and while we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we always want to remind you that when you come to the Lord Jesus, who had gone to that cross in order to bear our sins, and then rose from the dead so that he could offer us eternal life, we want to invite you to come to the Lord Jesus and to receive him, to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. And in this way, you get the forgiveness of sins from God Almighty. You get the promise of eternal life. It's just fantastic. And the people in Thessalonica knew this. This was a Christian group that Paul was writing to. But they lived right within a few years of all of this happening. And the event that closed off Jesus' earthly ministry is called the Ascension, where Christ physically was elevated, lifted up into the heavens, and disappeared from the apostles' sight. Now, you can read about this in a Bible book called Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And in the first chapter, it discusses that event. So Jesus left, and two angels said, "He will return in like fashion." So since then, the church has been waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Now, these individuals, just living within a few years of it, were anticipating the return of Jesus could come any day, any moment. And so, therefore, they were tempted to not put much investment into this life. I mean, after all, if Jesus is going to return almost any time, why should you continue working? What's it for? The world is going to be brought to an end, and we're going to get taken to eternal life. So why invest in this world? Why put forth that kind of earthly effort when our minds are turned heavenward? And in fact, Paul encourages the believers by saying, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So these people were under the impression that because the return of Jesus was imminent, they could quit their jobs. They shouldn't do anything. They should just spend the day waiting for Jesus to come back. And Paul had to correct this misunderstanding. Since we don't know when the Lord Jesus is returning, in the meantime, we should be productive. One of the reasons why is that God made us to use our minds and our bodies, and we don't want to be lazy. We don't want our mind and our body to become weak and unused. Obviously, it's more to the Lord's glory that we use our minds and bodies. Also, we want our Christian witness to be good. People are watching us. People are observing. And if the unbeliever would see the Christian being lazy, then that's not a good witness. It's not a good testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul was advocating was called shunning. This is an intentional withdrawing from this person. A couple of things about this. The Christians were not to shun the unbelievers. We're not supposed to participate in the sins and the wicked activities of unbelievers, but neither are we supposed to withdraw and pretend as though we're better than they are. No, the way that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth is to have friendships with unbelievers wherein we will show our faith and demonstrate our love for Jesus to them. So shunning is something that's done within the Christian community when it's necessary. And it's only done to people that are proving themselves to be lazy, not committed individuals that are taking advantage instead of contributing. And also, shunning has to be announced. People aren't supposed to just quietly leave and no longer associate with someone such that they're wondering what happened. They would have to announce what was taking place, that no longer were they going to associate if they continued to be lazy and unproductive. And that's why Paul says that they need to be told. They need to be confronted about this. And he even says, do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. This person has to know that he is no longer part of the group until he repents, until they decide to get with it and do the activities that are expected of them. And it's very important the manner in which this is done. Never with an intent to kick this person out intentionally. Even when something goes to the extreme, as in Matthew 18, and someone is excommunicated, kicked out of the church because of unrepented sin, even there, that is done with the hope that the person will repent and come back into the fold, come back to the body of Christ. Never is there an intent to try to kick people out and let them go to damnation. But notice how Paul says in verse 15, he says, "We are not to regard them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother." Everyone has their own issues. Everyone has their sins that they struggle with. And shunning was a method, an effect of the whole group making the person feel guilty in order to try to get them to repent. And it can be effective. A person's conscience finally can get them to produce and to work hard when everyone else says, "You're not doing your job." Notice that this is done in love. And that's the way Christians do things. They want to help others improve. They want them to become stronger in faith. Now, this takes discernment. If you know someone who is a Christian who is lazy, you need to warn them, and you need to tell them about 2 Thessalonians 3. But if someone you know is not yet believing in Jesus Christ, draw up a friendship with them, teach them, encourage them, show them the love of Jesus, and don't withdraw unless they're trying to actively lead you into sin. Otherwise, become their friend and lead them toward the Lord Jesus. Now you can see that this was all done in love to strengthen the body of Christ, the church. And shunning was not to get rid of people, but to draw them back in again. Isn't it wonderful that Christians care for one another and love one another? I hope that you feel that kind of love and togetherness, and I hope that you will share that same love and togetherness with the people you know so they can come to Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.